Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, our Lord and our God, we come before you, O God, helpless. We come before you, O Father, in need of your grace, in need of your mercy, in need of your hand, O God, in need of your word, we need of your guidance and instruction. We come as people, O God, in most times, in most cases, disobedience, but we come, O God, that we may learn obedience from you, that you may teach us your ways, your statutes, your commandments, that we may follow, O God. We pray this morning, our Father, that you may bless us in this gathering, that you may speak to us, O God, that you may open the eyes and the ears of the Spirit of your people, that we may fellowship, O God, even in the word that is preached, that, O God, we may hear you speak and directing us and commanding us. We ask all this in the name of your Son, that you may speak, O God, for your servants are listening. We all say amen. We may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 2. We continue on our journey through the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 2. And the title of the message this morning: Out of Egypt I called my son. Out of Egypt I called my son. We read from verse 12 to verse 15. And I'll be using the ESV this morning. It reads as follows: And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And when he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod, this was to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet: Out of Egypt I called my son. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. When you remember, or when you think of the book of Exodus, the book of Exodus tells us how Israel, the Israel people, left Egypt through the power and the strength of God, led by Moses, and sojourned through the wilderness to the promised land. This morning we are coming to see here, where we just read, we come to see a new Exodus, if you will, a new Exodus, when God says, Out of Egypt I called my son. And this new Exodus comes to us, and we look at it in two ways this morning. It begins with obedience, then it goes on with a promise which God promised to his people, and we shall look at that this morning. So first, God's demand for obedience and God's promise to his people in Christ Jesus our Lord. We remember in verse number 3, we read a few weeks ago, that Herod the king was agitated, he was annoyed, he was troubled about the news that a new king, a king of the Jews, is born in Bethlehem. And now he is about to unleash his wrath. As he is about to do that, the sovereign God, the King of glory, he comes in a dream and he warns the wise men not to return to King Herod, because King Herod wants to kill the child. We see that in verse number 12. And in verse number 13 to 14, God commands Joseph, he commands Joseph to flee to Egypt. It seems as though, as you read, it seems as if God is running away from Herod. It looks like God is running away from his enemies. It looks like God is running away from Satan. But it is not so. Because the fact of the matter is, all these things are happening, or all this is happening for the good of his people. And we shall see that it happens for the good of his people. God is not running away
from Herod.
In verse 15 it says, out of Egypt I called my son. That is the center of our message this morning. Out of Egypt I called my son. In verse 12, as I've said just now, God speaks to the wise men. He speaks to them in a dream because the child is a danger at the hands of Herod. So God orders these wise men not to return to Herod, even though they have promised to return to Herod. Remember when we read a few weeks ago in verse 8 and 9, Herod said, go search for the child diligently, and when you find the child, you come and you tell me and I will go and also worship him. And they promised that they will come back to Herod and really tell Herod where the child was. But now God gives them a command and says, do not go back, do not return to King Herod, because King Herod is planning in his heart. So God is looking at the heart of Herod. God is looking at the heart of each and every person. That's why he is pleased with uprightness in people's hearts. So he looks at the heart of Herod and he finds evil in the heart of Herod. Then he tells these wise men, he says, do not return to Herod, is about to kill the child. But regardless of the promise that they have made to Herod, God must be obeyed. It doesn't matter what promise you have made to a mere man. Regardless of what promise we make each and every day of our lives, if that promise is standing against the will of God, God must be obeyed. If that promise threatens the well-being of innocent people, God must be obeyed. Which is why whosoever then comes to Jesus, whosoever comes to Christ Jesus, he begins to listen to God. He begins to obey and to follow God's commandment and his statutes. Listen to what God says in Ezekiel 20, verse 19. Let me read for you. He says, I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. 1 John chapter 5 verse 3, it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment, and his commandments are not burdensome. So you cannot be a Christian and continue in disobedience, but then expect to have the blessing of God. Which is why it is actually false to teach that blessings comes even when we do not obey God. So you cannot continue in disobedience and expect God to bless you. You must not be fooled by God's common grace. There is something called common grace. Or for the fact that God continues to keep you alive, even in your disobedience, doesn't mean you are standing right with God. We must not be fooled with God's common grace. For the fact that we are still promoted at work, business is going well, doesn't mean that we're standing right with God. Common grace is for everyone. God lightens up his son. He sends rain to each and every person. That is common grace. But saving grace is different. When we come to Christ, we come to Christ and we are saved by his saving grace. And his saving grace should lead us to obedience and obedience of God. So, we must obey God. God calls us to obedience as his people. That is why the psalmist says, a true blessed man is the one who does not walk in the ways of sinners. The one who does not stand in the ways of sinners, does not walk in the ways of the wicked, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. If you read chapter number 1, verse number 1. He delights, that man who is a blessed man, he delights in the law of God. And in the law of God, he meditates day and night. So a blessed man is the one who obeys God. So the wise men obeyed God. They did not go back to Herod. The Bible says they took another way and go back and went back to their own country. So we learn that if God tells you to obey, if God tells us something, it means that God has a purpose about what God is saying. And we do obey him because we believe in him. That is why it will be difficult for each and every person, brothers and sisters, to obey God unless that person believes God. These wise men had to believe what God said. Regardless that it was God who led them to go and even find King Herod, but they still had to obey when God says, do not return to King Herod. So when God speaks to us, when God says something to us, he will not say something to us unless it has best outcome. And we shall see this best outcome as we look at my next point just now in a minute. So in verse number 13 and 14, we see now Joseph. Joseph is also commanded to obey. God says to Joseph, Joseph must take the child and flee to Egypt. The wise men had to obey. In verse number 12, verse 13 and 14, Joseph also must obey. Regardless of the fact that God would have just stopped giving his gift of bread, the bread that we take, he would have just stopped giving that gift of bread to Herod, but God was pleased to demand obedience. Joseph knows that God is sovereign. Joseph knows that no one lives in this world unless God wishes or wills for him to live. But God was only pleased only to ask his people to be obedient, to him. So Joseph took the child and took the mother, and then he went to Egypt. So he shows us, Matthew as he writes this thing, he teaches us this morning, he's showing us this morning that also when God says something, we must obey. There is a purpose behind to whatever God is saying. Every Christian must obey. Every man must lead his house in the obedience of God. We see Joseph taking the child and taking Mary. The Bible says he took the child, he took Mary. So every man must lead the house according to God's guidance, according to the word of God. And every child must remain under parental guidance. As Joseph takes the child, we see that the child is under parental guidance. But for Joseph to lead his house in a godly way, Joseph will also need to have a godly Mary. Mary must be godly. Mary must be obedient to the husband. Mary must know God. That is why Joseph needs to marry Mary in the Lord. Because once you miss this thing, there will be so much disobedience in the house. But also Mary, for her to listen to her husband, she needs a husband who also is leading the house in the obedience of God. That's what makes a family that obeys God. The man leads in accordance to God's will. The woman honors the husband by following in the statutes of God. In verse 14, Joseph took the child and he took the mother and he departed to Egypt. And we know that this is not the first time where Joseph obeys God. Joseph did obey God first. Before, he did obey God when God says he must take Mary and make her his wife. He also obeyed God when God says, you must name the child Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So Joseph knows how serious God is when it comes to obedience. We must also know that God is serious when it comes to obedience. Listen to what God says in Jude verse number 6. He says, and the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains. God keeps angels in eternal chains. That is Jude verse 6. Because God demands obedience. We remember the story of King Saul and the story of King Saul and the prophet Samuel. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 13. We realize in 1 Samuel chapter 13 that God commanded Saul to destroy the enemy. He commanded him to destroy everything that he will find in that land. But Saul kept the fattest of sheep to sacrifice in the Lord. Just think about it. He kept it to sacrifice to the Lord. But God was angry. And he says that act of disobedience was evil in the face of the Lord.
Even though the man was trying to please God, but because he pleased God in disobedience, God was angry and he counted that act as an act of evil in the face of the Lord.
And then God says to Saul through Samuel, to obey is better than sacrifice. And then Saul answers back to God and he says, I did not disobey the Lord. I have gone on the mission which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalekites, and I have destroyed the Amalekites to destruction. I devoted them to destruction. But listen to what he says. But the people took the spoils. They took the sheep and oxen, the best of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord in Gilgal. Then, because of that, the Lord took away the kingdom from King Saul and he gave it to David. Because King Saul listened to the people. Saul wanted to please the people, and when he wanted to please the people, he displeased God. But what we see this morning in this text that we have just read, the wise men chose to displease King Herod. They chose to disobey King Herod for as long as it pleased God. They chose to disobey men in this world, if only it will bring glory unto God. That does not teach that we must disobey our leaders. But if our leaders lead us astray, we must listen to God. That is what the wise men did. Unlike King Saul, who wanted to please, he wanted to please men. And God was angry. In verse 13 to 14, also Joseph chose to obey God. Unlike many today who would like to mingle with the world, who will choose to just go with the flow, even though it displeases God. People will rather listen to their wives. People will rather listen to their husbands, even if it displeases God. People will rather please everyone but God. But here we find a people who shows us, who teaches us how and who we must obey. Because if we do disobey God, our sin will catch up with us. Sooner or later, we'll be chastened. Sooner or later, we'll find ourselves in destruction unless we come to Jesus for the cleansing power. Unless we come to Jesus for the salvation of our souls. So we praise the Lord for King Jesus, who came into the world, who humbled himself and took upon himself a form of a man, a form of a servant, who obeyed God, who obeyed him even when obedience led to the death of the cross, the horrible death of the cross, but Christ kept on obeying God. Jesus Christ is the one who teaches us how to obey. He obeyed God in the difficulties of time. He didn't only obey God, he obeyed even man. He listened to people. He obeyed his parents, his earthly parents, just to show how obedience was. Just to show how important obedience is even today. He even obeyed the people he himself created. The people who were supposed to report to him or to call upon him, but he himself obeyed those people. Just imagine being raised by the people who are sinful, but you are holy. How much of obedience was there for the sake of our own sin? He even obeyed the whole law of God and all his precepts for the sake of our salvation. But if we continue in disobedience, we will live a miserable life unless we come to Jesus. So in verse number 14 says, Joseph did not wait. He did not wait. The next morning, the Bible says, immediately that night, he rose and he took the child and the mother. That's what obedience is. His obedience was immediately. At the same time, when he heard the voice of God, he obeyed God. That is why the Bible says, when we hear him today, do not harden your hearts. Obedience
is required, is commanded. Now. And we must obey when? Now. The Bible tells us then in verse 14 that Joseph obeyed God and obeyed immediately. Asked no question. He did not have any debates with God. He didn't say, but God, as we normally do in this life. So he took the child and he took the mother. He departed to Egypt. That's how we obey. And that's how we obey God. We obey God as he speaks to us. How does God speak to us today? He speaks to us by his word. Yes, he does speak to us by his spirit. Because his spirit opens our eyes. His spirit is the one that shows us what, that teaches us how to read this, how to understand this. But the Bible tells us that in the former days, he spoke to us by the prophets. But today, he has spoken to us through his son. We must listen to his son. We must obey the voice of his son. So as we see these people obeying the voice of God. The Bible also tells us that when Jesus came into this world, in full obedience, he said in Hebrews 10, verse 5 to 7, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me in burnt offering and sin offering we have not taken pleasure. Then I said, that is Jesus, behold, I have come to do your will. That is obedience. Behold, I have come to do your will. Oh God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. So the Bible, according to Hebrews chapter 10, is written to show us that Christ obeyed God. So if we are followers of Christ, who must we obey? We must obey the voice of God. We must obey Christ. So, unlike King Saul, who thought that sacrifice and false worship substitutes for obedience without any consideration of the consequences, without any consideration of Christ even today. But as for the wise men, as for Joseph himself, they obeyed God, and their obedience then is what continued God's blessing unto this world. Let us look at God's blessing for the world, which is my second point, and we find it in verse 15. When we look at verse 15, it reminds us of Israel's exodus. If the Bible says, out of Egypt I called my son, immediately, automatically in our minds, we think of Israel, the Israel of the old. But now, it speaks of Jesus. So, we need to see how does this work together. What is the connection between the old Israel and this new or true Israel, if you may put it that way. So, we read verse 15. It reminds us of Israel's exodus. But when we think of Israel's exodus, we remember that Israel, even in their exodus, the word exodus means going out, even in their exodus, they continued in sin. They continued in sin regardless of the miracles that they saw. Remember, they saw so many miracles that God performed before them. Remember the rod of Moses, which turned to a snake and actually swallowed all the snakes. The healing of leprosy by the staff of Moses. The seven plagues that God sent to the land of Egypt. They saw all these things. The wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. The Red Sea was opened for them. They walked in dry land. Moses hit a rock and water came out. They saw that miracle in the Bible. In the New Testament, it says that rock was Jesus. So God testified to them that there is a rock, our foundation, where we put our faith now. Where we set our foundations, the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw these miracles. They went up. They came to Mount Sinai. They saw the miracles of God. They saw the presence of God. They saw, they heard the voice of God. Even when they did not hear what God was saying, but when God came to that mountain, the mountain trembled. The animals died to the approach. The mountain. The Bible says even people, when they came to touch the mountain, they died because of the presence of God. They saw all these things. They saw fire and smoke. They were led by the pillar of clouds and fire by night. But they still continued in sin. That's the old Exodus. And all, most of them, even though they made it to the promised land, they did not get to the rest of God, the rest that God promised them. And then God sworn in his wrath, and he said, in his ways, they will not enter my rest. And Moses had to raise up a bronze snake in the wilderness, so that whosoever look on the bronze snake may live. But the Bible tells us in John chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, that the same snake or the bronze snake of the wilderness pointed to Jesus. So we realize then that the old Exodus, although Moses took the people out, something was still missing. Sin was still continuing. Something is missing. Which is what will bring us to the new Exodus, as we call it new Exodus. As we see, the Bible says, out of Egypt I called my son. They continued in disobedience, but God, for the sake of his covenant, not because of what they did, it is not because of what we do, but for the sake of his covenant, God continued his Exodus. He led his people to the promised land. Although that did not actually accomplish God's plan, reaching the destination, Canaan, did not accomplish God's plan. Why? Because that was just a foreshadow of the things to come. And today, when we read, it tells us that God, through Christ Jesus, is now introducing a new Exodus, a new coming out, which was foreshadowed by the old. So when we think of the old, we must think of the new. There was a promised land in the old Exodus. There is a promised land in a new Exodus, which is foreshadowed by the old. This Exodus is not a new Exodus because the first Exodus failed. No, it is not so. But it's because the first Exodus actually was pointing to the Son of God. So as we think of the old Exodus, as we think of the new Exodus, we remember that the book of Exodus opens. It begins with a story of an oppressed people who needed a savior to liberate them from their enemies. But also, when we read in the book of Matthew, the first verses of the book of Matthew tells us the same thing. It opens with an oppressed people. People are oppressed, but someone had to come from heaven to liberate his people from oppression, to liberate his people from their sins. In verse 21 of chapter number 1, it says, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So we need to draw some similarities and some contrast between the Israel of the old and the new Israel, which is Jesus Christ. We need to draw some contrast between the leader of the old new Israel and the leader of the new Israel, Moses and Jesus, so that we can see how we come in, how we can make our way with Christ to the promised land, because he is the leader and he is the one who is the true and the new Exodus. So we're going to make a few contrasts. We're going to see how does this lead us to Christ. Israel, we learn from the book of Genesis that they went to Egypt. Israel had to run from their land to Egypt from a famine. We know that story. If they did not run, they were going to die. Jesus now is running, if you will, to Egypt, running away from the sword of King Herod. If he doesn't run from the sword of King Herod, he will die. The old Israel, if they didn't run from famine, they were going to die. So we see these two things coming together. In Egypt, the Israel, they called to God. They called up to God as they were oppressed. They called to God for a savior. And God gave them Moses, who only saved them from Pharaoh, as I mentioned before. He only saved them from Pharaoh, brothers and sisters. But sin
continued.
Something is missing in the old Exodus. Here's a man, Moses, chosen by God, but he also sinned himself. He killed the man. How can this man lead people to peace if he himself does not have peace? Someone else needs to come to bring peace among the people, to unite the Israelites and the Egyptians, to make God's people one nation. For God has people in Israel as a nation, and God has people in the whole nations of the world. So one man needs to come and reconcile all these people. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 that while we were still weak, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still enemies of God, God reconciled us to his Son. So reconciled us to himself through the death and the blood of his Son. Moses could not bring peace. He himself sinned. Moses was not the man. Someone else had to come. Listen to what Moses says in Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. It says, God will raise up for them, that is, will raise up for the people of Israel, he will raise up for them a prophet like Moses from among them, and he will put his words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that God commands. Someone was coming, and that someone had to come from the line of Israel. He has to be someone from Israel, so that sin may no longer continue and reign in the hearts of those who are in Christ, or in the hearts of those who are in the journey to the promised land. John chapter 1, the gospel according to John, beautiful gospel, verse 45, we see there's someone who was a devoted Jew, someone who actually read the scripture, someone who was waiting for the Messiah. At the coming of Jesus, when he found Jesus, this is what he says. He tells his friend, he says, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So how is this a new Exodus, my friends? How is this a blessing in relation to the obedience of the wise men and obedience of Joseph? In verse 15, these words out of Egypt, I called my son. Matthew is citing these words from Hosea chapter number 11, verse number 1. He cites these words from where God speaks of his love, of his choosing of Israel among all the nations of the world to be his special people. But we remember that also he speaks of Israel, because from Israel the blessing of all the nations shall come. Jesus Christ, his only son, from Israel after the flesh. He was to be born from Israel. And in him, God will call his people from their sin, from the world, from the oppression of sin, if you will, to his marvelous light. So verse 15 here points to us that one was to come into the world to save his people to the uttermost. One superior and better than Moses, because Moses himself needed a saving. So this is God's blessing to the world. A prophet will come, but not a prophet like Moses. A prophet who's also a priest and a king. One who will speak for God and represent people to God and represent God to the people. One who will tell the future. One who will call men unto repentance. One who will be divinely consecrated to be the one who offers sacrifice on behalf of the people. One different than Moses, who will bring an acceptable and a pleasing sacrifice to God. He must also be a king. We spoke about this. A perfect ruler, a perfect shepherd, a shepherd of God's people. One who will sovereignly reign in the hearts of men. One who also sovereignly reign in the whole world. He does not only reign in our hearts, to those who have come to him, but also reign in the whole world. This whole world stands because of him, because without him everything will crash in this world. That is why even in his death, when he was dying, he was holding the whole world in his own hands. Someone had to come. A king, a priest, and a prophet. The Bible says, we who have believed in him now are the citizens of heaven already. If you read Philippians chapter 2, verse 26 to 29. If you read Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, it says we are the citizens of heaven right now because of one who is a new Israel, a true Exodus, a new Exodus that brings his people with him to the promised land. So Matthew says in verse number 15, just as God, this is what it means, just as God called Israel out of Egypt, now there is a new Exodus. God shall call out his son, so that his son may bless those who will come with his son. He will call his son out of Egypt in order to bless his people. Just as God called out his son, which was Israel. He called Israel in the Old Testament his son. So as God called them, the reason why God called them out of Egypt was what? Was to fulfill the promise that God gave to Abraham, that he will bless all the nations through the seed of Abraham. So he had to call the old Israel out. And today, the Bible tells us that then, in the same way, for God called old Israel because of Abraham's sake and the covenant, even today, he's calling out his son for the same promise. Because this is the seed which was promised by God. This is the one who will lead his people to eternal blessing. Listen to what he says in John chapter 14. We have read this before. We know these words. This is Jesus. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go there to prepare a place for you? And if I go there and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself. Why? That where I am, you may be also. So those who come to Jesus, my friends, are on their way to the promised land. Those who believe in Jesus and who trust and obey Jesus, they are on their way to a new Canaan. The land flocking with milk and honey. When you read Revelation, it tells us that even the streets there, they are the streets of gold. It does not speak really of street with gold, but it speaks of the purity and the holiness of God, where sin shall not enter. But how can sin not enter? Because we are sinful. If you want to be there, how are we going to make it there? We needed a new Exodus, which comes with purity and righteousness, the Son of God, so that he can take us there. So in this new Exodus, God calls out his son out of Egypt. He does not call his son from slavery as he did before when he called his son the old Israel. No, this one is not called out of slavery, but he's called out of Egypt because some people are still in slavery, a much greater slavery than the slavery of Egypt. They are in the slavery and in the bondage of sin. The slavery, the depravity of the soul, they are there. So he's calling out his son for the sake of others. To deliver people who need salvation. To deliver them from Satan. To deliver them from self. Because remember, we are full of self. Everything is about us. What I do is for me. But Christ comes to deliver us from that chain, so that we can make it to the promised land. Those who have no peace with God are now called out. Those who have no peace with one another are now called out. It is not only us that doesn't have peace with one another in this world. Moses, in the book of Exodus, he killed a man. But few days later, he found his own people, brothers fighting each other. When he tried to separate them and bring peace, the other one said, "Do you want to kill me the same way you killed the Egyptian?" Even the people of the same blood, of the same tribe, of the same nation have no peace with one another. Moses could not bring that peace. No one can bring that peace. No one can unite us from all the different tribes and nations of this world but one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The new Exodus. We needed this new Exodus to take us home, to make us a new people, a people of God with one name. Name which is called the children of God. That is this new Exodus. Because, my friends, he needs to call us, because some of us are still enjoying the garlic and the spices of this land. You remember those people, they also enjoyed the garlic and the spices and the onions of the land. We also do. But Christ needs to bring us out. And when he brings us out, he brings us out completely. So this new Exodus is to call us to the manna. Not the manna of the old, but the true bread that came from heaven. Jesus Christ himself, who says, I am the bread of life. And whoever comes to me and eat and drink will have eternal life. Will not see hell, will not see condemnation. So God called out his son out of Egypt. For those who are now literally out of Egypt, but still spiritually in a worse state than Egypt. God called out his son out of Egypt in order to bless the wanderers of this world. In order to lead many unto his home. His precious home. His heavenly home. So let me close like this, my friends. We must obey God. But one thing for sure, we do not obey God because there's a danger, such as when Herod wanted to kill the child. They did not obey God because there was that danger. Yes, the danger was there, but they obeyed because God said so. We obey because God says so. We do not wait for danger that we obey. It is not like the way we drive these days. You put seat belts, you put a seat belt because there's traffic cops. No. You put a seat belt because it's the right thing to do. That is obedience. We obey because God commands us to obey. So every sinner needs to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sinner who trusts in him, who looks unto him and forgets all the promises he has made in this world, to the people of this world, in his own sin, and then lift up his eyes unto God. If anyone is like that, then that person has a king. He has a savior, whose name is Jesus Christ, and in whose name there is salvation. So we must also know that when we obey, sometimes obedience can be a blessing, not just to you. Obedience can also be a blessing to other people, to your own children, to the people of God. You see, it might look like the wise men benefited nothing when they obeyed God. It might look like only maybe Joseph was to benefit, because if he stayed, maybe he was going to be killed. But friends, we remember that Abraham himself obeyed God and the blessing passed to his own generation. So sometimes when you obey God as a child of God, you're not doing it only for yourself. But you're doing it for the nations that comes after you, for your own children, for your own house, which is why we must lead in the obedience of God. And in the contrary as well, if we disobey God, you don't also only disobey God for your own sake. Sometimes you disobey God for the people who comes after you. Look at what God says here in Exodus chapter number 20. Look at this one. I'll read for you. Exodus 20 verse 5. You shall not bow down to them, that the false gods and idols, or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. Just imagine what God says. He visits the iniquities of the fathers to their children. So we obey God for ourselves, we obey God for our children. Listen to what Romans chapter 5 verse 19 says. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Adam disobeyed God, we all sinned. Now Christ obeyed God, we all who comes to him will be saved. So we also learn in this study we've done today, we learn of God's providential care for his children. We realize that God provides protection. He provides security for His own. He leads them to safety. He leads them and provides them shelter, even in a foreign land, as He led Jesus to Egypt. Even here, we know we are in a foreign land. This place is not our home. That doesn't matter how sweet it may be. It doesn't matter how beautiful it may be to you. But it is not home if you are a child of God. But God still provides shelter and security for us here. But not because we must remain here forever. Out of Egypt, I called my son. He provided shelter, but He called him out again. He provides shelter for us. One day He shall call us out to His home far away, where His blessing shall be shared. So we will not build our roots deep in this world, because this world is not our home. So as for those who like to give credit to Satan, there are those who think Satan is like superior. They must just bind him all the time. But friends, we must learn that it is not so. We can see here in this scripture, Satan tried to kill the Son of God, but God protected His Son. And all this happened because God had planned it so. The Bible says it has to come to a fulfillment that God said, out of Egypt I called my Son. So the devil, he cannot go beyond boundaries that God has put. I'm not saying you will not be tempted. I'm not saying you're not going to be in sorrow and pain. But at the end of the day, He shall call you out to His home far away. Another thing we must know is that trouble does not wait. Even Jesus, in His infancy, trouble came to Him. Herod wanted to kill Him. And may the good Lord then bless us, as we realize that obedience and blessing always works together. Let's pray.